every word, every testimony, whatever is done, Father, may it be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. Father, I hide myself behind the cross. I submit myself completely to you. Let your words be my words and my thoughts be your thoughts. Lord, let nothing of me exist, only you, Father. Help me to bring forth the word that you have given us, that the enemy has tried so hard to keep from this house today. I pray in the name of Jesus that it will come forth. Enemy of ours, I give you notice. By the victory that was won at the cross, I command you to flee in Jesus' name. I bind and rebuke you, and everything that belongs to you cannot exist in this space where the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God dwells. I thank you in Jesus' name that those things will be done. Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. The enemy has not wanted this message to go forth. Started about Thursday. He brought illness into the household. He brought, in a mighty way, he's come forth. And so I know this word is very important. And this was before God even gave me the word. So I want you to understand the importance of what you're hearing from this pulpit. From the last 6 months to a year, these things have been purpose to bring us to a time and place that we are in now that is fast approaching in the church, in the kingdom of God. You are being taught to stay within the presence of God. You are being taught to sanctify yourself, to circumcise your heart, to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, and you are being taught how to war, because war is here and more war is coming. And it is very important that you understand what happened last week here in this church when the pastor and the shepherd pulled the leaders down and wanted a yes from them. There is a purpose for that. The word came to him and was confirmed by something that God had given me. The time is coming where we cannot longer play games. This is not a time where there is no man left behind. This is a time where either you are in or you are out. And leaders and shepherds of this household have to come and succumb under the leadership of God, because the purpose is too great. It's too valuable. And each one of us has a responsibility to come up under the leadership not only of God, but what the shepherd has put forth by the will of God into this household. So today, we're going to talk about unity. No army can operate properly and be effective unless there is unity in the command. Brother Kenneth, he's a military guy. You can't have one unit doing what they think is right and the other one doing what they think is right. No, you come under the command of your leaders to put forth the plan to take down the enemy. And it's no different in the army of God. So unity is necessary for the kingdom to operate properly. What is unity? Unity, I found a definition that I thought was really great on the internet. It says at one ment. At one ment. That means you are at one. It is a necessary part of this kingdom. I cannot operate opposite of what God has given me to do and expect things to happen. I can't do it, neither can he, and neither can you. One of the founding fathers wrote, and you'll see it in many places today, united we stand, divided we fall. It is the same, but in the kingdom, you're going to be cut away. You're not going to stand. You're going to cut away, because we cannot afford for the mission to fail. Too many lives are on the line. Your family, my family, people we don't know, people that need God. We are called to be the army of God for a reason. We are called to go in and break down the strongholds and to rescue those that need him. It's not about you or me. It's not about either one of us. It's about him and the purpose that we are put here on this earth. So we are going to talk about unity today. We have got to be unified. When God made man in Genesis 3 and 26 through 27, he made him in our image is what he said. He was speaking to the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Let's make man in our image. And then he made woman. And he set forth unity in that to begin with. Genesis 2 and 18, the New King James Version says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." A helper comparable to him. I tell you what, you know the reason why my marriage has lasted 30-some years? Is because we didn't give up. If I've got a battle to fight, you know who I'm going to call? I'm going to call that man because he has stood beside me. Even when I was wrong, he stood beside me. When you go to war, you better make sure you have a mate that can go to war with you. And it's the same thing in the church. You have got to be people that stand beside you and will not faint, but will stand firm and strong. You can't be fighting the same demons from 20 years ago and not winning and expect to be part of the army of God. It cannot be anymore. It is time for that to go. Mark 10, 6 through 8. This is how important unity is with God. He set it forth in the marriage to begin with. He made man in his image. Unity. You are unified with God just by your image. How important is unity to Lord Jesus Christ? It's very important. Mark 6, 8 through 10, we talk about this every time we go in to a marriage ceremony. You will hear these words repeated. Let me pull them up for you. Mark 10, 6 through 8. And the Bible reads, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain," mean two, "shall be one flesh." So they are no more twain, but one flesh. "And what God therefore has joined together, let not man put asunder." Unity is very important with him. Oneness is very important, even in your marriage. This is why you can't just date for fun. You date with purpose. And let me tell you something, from a woman who knows and seeing that her selections brought back bad things, you better wait on what God brings to you. You can't just walk around here with everything that's coming and going. You better wait and make sure God has put that thing in your life, because that is the thing that's going to stand with you through hell and high water and have your back when you need somebody to have your back when nobody else knows. Don't take marriage lightly. It is not something to be frivolous about. It is a oneness. And when you're not compared together, compatible, Lord, it ain't going to fix. Marriage ain't going to fix it. It ain't going to fix it. Don't think I'm going to change him. Or I'm going to change her. No, can't do that. The two is supposed to become one. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you were supposed to come to him as Lord and Savior. There's a oneness there. Lord and Savior. He is my Lord. I follow him. I will back him up because I know he's got my back. He saved my life. Thousands of years ago, the victory was won. His love was proved to me from the beginning. Ezekiel 11 and 19, I read this a couple weeks ago. God brought it back to my heart. This is what he's talking about. "And I will give them one heart, a new heart." This is the Amplified Version. He says, "And put a new spirit within them. I will take from them the heart of stone and will give them a heart of flesh that is responsive to my touch." Is there anything left of you in that? Let me ask you. Free will. That's about it. You can accept it or you can deny it. But he desires that personal relationship with you. He desires that oneness with you. Because in him, there is everything good. Everything works to the good of those who love him, who are loved by him. Romans 8 and 9. But in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of Holy God dwelling within you. The Bible says that the Father and I will come and make our abode with you. Don't tell me that you can't do and I can't be and I don't know, baby, you just don't want to. Because you have the Spirit of living God, Almighty El Shaddai within you that has the power and authority to do what needs to be done. But you just won't allow it. Romans 8 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. But if you're following your flesh, we got a problem. We got a problem. Actually, you've got a problem. Because you will not be here long. It says 4 and verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells within you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Don't take long when you live in a spirit to figure out the ones that don't. And I've had to sit in that office and tell my pastor, whom I love very dearly, this one is not with us. This one is not for us. This one is not with us. And within weeks, it become very, very, very apparent. This one is not with us. We have a problem here. Don't think that God won't raise up a prophet to call you out, because he will. Sometimes I'm going to be that person. And I stand here in all love for you, but I cannot stand here and compromise what God has called us to do just because I love you. We got to get it together, or we got to get out. That's where we are right now. Unity. Galatians 3, turn with me there. I want to go down to about 26. Galatians 3. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. You cannot depend upon those things. Those are frivolous things in your body. It's by faith. You walk by faith. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Have you been baptized in Christ Jesus? There was a time that God asked me to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this church. And I told him they are not ready to surrender to the baptized. And there's a difference between being baptized in the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit within you. It's a submission. It's a surrender. You cannot operate in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in that power and authority, if you hang on to yourself. We've been talking about it. Sanctify yourself. Circumcise your heart. Let God circumcise your heart through the leading of the Holy Spirit. You cannot walk in power, complete and total power, if you don't surrender to Him. Here, a lot of people use verse 27 to say that you have to be water baptized. That is not essentially what he's talking about. He's talking about faith in Christ Jesus. He's talking about a oneness with Christ Jesus. A lot of churches will hang on to that and say, you have to have water baptism. It does not talk about water baptism specifically. It talks about faith in Christ Jesus. So I'll put that lie to rest as we speak. Not of water baptism, but of faith. A lot of times we're hanging on because we want to feel something. I'm telling you, it ain't by feeling, baby. You just got to walk sometimes by faith in the darkness just as well as you walk in the light. Ephesians 1 and 13 and 14, there is the promise that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is what seals us. It is what sets us apart. It is why the enemy hates you. It is why when you walk into a room, you will have haters that haven't even seen you before. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and there's a seal on your life. And the enemy will send everything he can to keep you from what God has promised. First Corinthians 12. Let's turn to there. And I'm sorry I'm back and forth, but I'm giving it to you the way God gave it to me. And we're gonna dive right in. This chapter talks about spiritual gifts that we can operate in by the will of the Holy Spirit, by the leading and guiding. But I want to look at verses 12. Chapter 12. And it talks about division, how to divide. It talks about the dividing of the gifts. Some speak in tongues, some have discerning spirits, some prophesy, some do gifts of healing and working of miracles. And verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized," notice that's capital S, that's Holy Spirit, "into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not the body,' it is therefore not of the foot body. And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the healing? Where were we here? If the whole body was hearing, how would we smell? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are the many members yet one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' neither again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feasible are necessary." Just because you don't stand up here and talk and preach and sing and play an instrument, you are necessary in the kingdom. We are an army. We operate together. That's why it's so important when one part is sick that it either be healed or removed. Same thing in a surgery. You can't keep what's killing you. It's got to be removed. Last week, the leaders gave a yes, but their lives are going to speak to that. Either they will or they won't in their own lives. And the command has come to cut ties. Cut the ties. Some people are not meant for this ministry. He said it by his mouth many times, and God has spoke to him. And confirmation come from me. The time has come. we have need of each and every one of us. But you have a choice. Are you going to operate in unity? That means submitting to God. That means submitting, being in oneness with Jesus Christ and what he's called us to be. John 17, Jesus even knew the importance of this, and he prayed for the disciples and us before he left. Let's read that. John 17. I just want to hit a couple of verses. Verse 21. Listen how important unity is to him. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believeth that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou givest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Unity. Unity. It is important. If your life doesn't example unity with Jesus Christ, you are a cancer that has to be removed. You're a tool of the enemy. I'm not playing games today. I'm giving you what God has told me to say. I love you dearly. But I'm going to give you some examples. I'm not just making this up. Joshua 6, 1 through 5. Do you remember we were studying Joshua a couple weeks ago? I brought you all the way to the crossing of the sea. And they were on the shore. And God had called them to circumcision. And they had circumcised the male warriors, the male men, which was custom to show covenant. And God had called us to circumcise our hearts. The first thing he wants to take out is pride. That's of the enemy, pride. I don't care what title you hold. I don't care how much money you donate to this church. I don't care. If your life doesn't show unity with Jesus Christ, we have a problem. Jericho. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and come in because they were fearful of what they had seen God do. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the kings thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. I want you to notice, he didn't call the weaklings and did he? Men of war. Do you know how to war? Do you know how to war? Do you know how to defeat the things in your life, even if it's your flesh? That's what's exposing you. If you can't get past your flesh and the temptations of the enemy, you are not a man and woman of war. You are a liability in this house. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the seventh day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man, straight before him. That was the command of God. Can sound silly. 6 days they walked around this place. They had warriors in the front. They had the priests with the horns. They had the Ark of the Covenant. And then they had more priests. And then they had warriors again. Where do you fall in that? Where do you think you fall? God has called you to a position in this church to be responsible. It's not just for the pastors and the leaders. It's for every one of us. Are you a person of war? We are teaching you to war here. We are teaching you to war. How to be. The victory's been won. The cross did that. Resurrection did that. We have to administer it. But we're not even good at doing that. How are you going to war with God to take down strongholds if you can't take them down in your own life? Do you think if one of them had shouted, and Joshua told him, said, don't you say a word until you hear that long blast. Do you think if somebody had shouted before time that the walls would have fell? Do you think if the priests had not run their horns and blowed their horns? Do you think if the men of war showed up without their weapons? Do you think that any disobedience would have brought about victory? No, it would not have. They were obedient to the word of God. Acts 6, 1 and 7, and I won't read all of this because I'm sure my time's about over, but they were choosing seven people. Some of the Grecians come to the apostles and said, our widows are not getting the food distribution that they're supposed to. And the apostles basically said, what are we supposed to do? Stop reading the word and studying and preaching and teaching and wait on tables to make sure that this is done? We can't do it. With 0.7 men, they listed their names. Stephen was one of them. He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. There's an importance about that. And they put them over that so that that could be taken care of and that the apostles could do their job. And it said, and it added to the faith every day. Read the story, Acts 6. 1 through 7, if I'm not mistaken. We all have a responsibility. Mine is no more or less important than yours. I don't care if you clean the church. Honey, I've cleaned the church for years. As a kid, that's what I did as a pastor's daughter. I know about cleaning up. I still do it today. We have a cleanup next week, as a matter of fact. Revelations 7 and 9 through 10. Let me just tell you how important unity is to God. Revelation 7. Keep your finger in Joshua because I'm going to take you back there. I want to show you what unity looks like with God. Revelation 7, it's 13 through 15. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the sea, and such are in the seas and all in the hearing, saying, blessings and honor, glory, and be unto him that set up upon the throne. And I think I wrote down the wrong verses. But anyways, if you go up, it says that every nation, and I'm in the wrong verse. That's why I'm in the wrong chapter. Hang on. 7. Verses 13. And one of the elders said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to them, they are they that came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, and are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And if you go up a little farther, another 7, and I behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Remember changing your clothes, sanctify yourself, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice. You know what the palms meant? That's a surrender to authority. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Unity is important to our God. Go back to Job. I want you to see this. Go back to Joshua. I want to show you what unity looks like. Joshua 5, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't write this down. Joshua 5, verse 13. This is before the fall of Jericho. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him and his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, which means neither. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. That's what unity with God looks like. I don't care if you're my brother, my sister, you, my friend. I don't care. I am for God. And if he tells me to slay you, I'm going to slay you. I'm talking spiritually now. Don't get it twisted. But that is unity with God. He says, I am neither. The only side that I choose is his. And I do what he commands me to do. And you know, Joshua was very wise. Let's listen to what he said, what he did. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and say unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standing on is holy. And Joshua did so. Do you know what this represents? This is a covenant in the Old Testament. When things were done at the gate, at the entrance, and they wanted to make it a permanent covenant, they didn't have the laws and things like we do. They took off a shoe. That was a covenant. Here I am, Lord, take me. Bunch of us are walking around here with one shoe on and one shoe off, and some of us keep putting our shoes back on and try to walk around and be out of the covenant. It can no longer be that way. It is unity. United, we stand. Divided, you will fall. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Are you for us or against us? Nay, I'm for him. For God I live, as we say here. For God I die. I pray that you take this heeding to heart. The time is coming. And the time is upon us. The war is all around us. It is all around us. We are fighting a spiritual war every day. Who are you unified with? Father, we praise you and thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you keep giving us these warnings and you keep teaching us to be better, that everything that we need is in you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to unify with you and nothing else in this world. Let the words go forth. Let it take root in our hearts and in my heart, Lord. Let us surrender to you and your will today. In Jesus' name.